Hey guys, it's Allie.
And this is Lindsay.
And welcome back to Matter of Crime.
This is take two.
Yeah, apparently I forgot I wasn't recording, or I didn't notice I wasn't recording the first time, but we only got like 5 minutes in, so it wasn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad. So if you remember where we left off with Alexei dying, and he appointed his son Fyodor as his heir. And like I said in the first take when I thought we were recording and we weren't, I'm going to try to make this shorter as it goes along. And definitely next week I'm going to do something different just to kind of break it up.
Yeah.
But it's been a stressful week for everybody. So I was like, you know what? I already have some of this research done. So
we'll just finish it.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Yeah. Okay, so Fyodor III was the eldest living son of Alexei and his first wife, Maria. He was born in 1661, took the throne in 1676 at 15 years old. That's the kind of guy you want. You want a 15-year-old running your country.
Yeah. We can't even have fully grown adults running our country.
No,
so
that's not, I don't know, maybe things are different. Well, he did speak Latin and Polish. And which was really rare for somebody in Russia to speak Latin.
Yeah.
And he was very smart for his time, very cultured, and considered to be really kind. But he was paralyzed and, or partially paralyzed and disabled because he had scurvy as a young child, which led to anemia, which hindered the like growth of his bones and his muscle structure.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't walk very well. And the Russian nobility aren't like big fans of illness, if you remember.
It's like Brand from Game of Thrones.
Brand, yeah.
He fell out of a window.
Right. Well, he pushed out of a window. Spoilers, but no spoilers. It's been off the air for like 3 years, so
yeah,
get your life together. So he had to be carried around in one of those like carriages with like the sticks on them, like a chair, and like the guys carry
like you think of when you think of Cleopatra.
Yeah, exactly that. So he had to be carried to his coronation, which made people like worry about his physical weakness.
Yeah, because your leg strength has a whole lot to do with your mental capacity.
Clearly it does not, because he actually turned out to be pretty badass.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, for the short time that he lived, like, he did some awesome stuff. He was given a horse for his third birthday because his parents thought that, like, the outside and the exercise and the horse and stuff, like, might help his health.
Rub some dirt in it.
Yeah. I love that philosophy. And he became, like, obsessed with horses. And he loved, like, breeding horses and had a bunch of them or whatever. But on his when he was 13 years old, a family friend was taking him out for a ride on a sled, and he had a horse that was like pulling the sled, and the horse turned out to be like evil, angry horse for some reason.
It probably wasn't broke very well.
Yeah, and so it got scared and started to run, and it knocked Fyodor off the sled. And the sled actually ran him over, and it crushed his chest.
Oh, that sucks so bad.
I know, 13-year-old kid. Can you imagine?
No.
And so that just, like, compounded all his physical ailments.
Yeah.
And made it.
I'm surprised he lived through that.
Yeah. I mean, he had lifelong, like, back problems. And it was just, yeah. So he had a rough start.
Yeah.
Not so good.
You know, up until that point, you know, the horses probably gave him equal footing with everyone else.
Yeah.
Because you don't use your legs very much.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he still, like, rode horses his whole life, so. So he was considered very progressive for his time. He sought to reform Russia's, like, backwards ways, wanted to bring in a lot of the modern, like, English fashion and customs, because, like, his dad and his granddad were both super into European culture. But his ailments, like, made it really hard for him to, like, physically make sure that a lot of the stuff he wanted to do was
got done.
Yeah. His uncle, Ivan Miloslavsky, took control for him, like, basically, like, kind of stepped in. And because he's kind of got this more physical presence, like, people just listened to him more, you know?
So, did he act as, like, a figurehead, or was he trying to, like, actually,
he was kind of low-key trying to rule, and, like, but Fyodor he was smart, but he was 15 too.
Yeah.
And they fully were like, you don't come of age until you're 18. Like, they knew that for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, 17, 18 years old. Ivan Miloslavsky was, like, a nobleman, you know, and wanted power. And so he kind of low-key, like, gave power back to the Zemsky Sobor, the parliament, mm-hmm. like, nobleman, after he exiled the leader of Fyodor's army, Artamon Matyev. Okay. And this is important later. So this guy comes back and he plays an important role later.
So, random. Yeah. The only Russian person I've ever met.
Yeah.
His name is Artie.
Artie?
Yeah, A-R-T-I, Artie.
That's funny. I wonder if his real name is like Artamon.
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Because a lot of times when people come here from other countries, like, they know that
Stupid and yeah. we can't say. Like, our mouths are just so...
Yeah.
Like...
Screw it. We're going to throw in a caveat. We have a sick baby in the room.
Yes. Normally, she's at school during this time.
Yeah. So, if you hear any noise in the background...
Like, a snotty nose or a cough or something.
Right. Or a YouTube video playing on an iPhone. You got to get over it. Because our kids come first.
Yeah. And... She's being really good, considering.
Yeah, all things considered, she definitely is being super chill.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Miloslavsky took over, and he disbanded their, like, CIA thing, and the accountants. So,
he didn't want nephew? Were they uncle and nephew? Okay. Mm-hmm. He didn't want his nephew to know where the money was going.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was. So, he took over the Department of Foreign Affairs and the Treasury. He also appointed all of his friends and relatives.
Of course he did.
Right. So this is not a running theme or anything.
Mm-mm.
Some of them held up to 6 different positions. Like, of a whole country.
Yeah, there's no...
Could you imagine, like, the freaking Senate Majority Leader or whatever also being the head of...
The Speaker of the House.
Right. Yeah. Or the head of, you
military
know,
and right. the head of everything else.
Just, like, all the other things. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you have one job and you do that one job well.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, he just wanted, like, he just stacked the deck in his favor is what he
well,
did.
Well, yeah, because if anything happens and you want to take over, mm-hmm. you need those people in those places.
I know. Yeah, so he also increased the number of, like, government departments from 42 to 60 to give people more, basically to employ more of his friends.
Oh, yeah. So that he could, like, I'm sure after you've got 6 jobs, you really mm-hmm. can't take on another.
Right.
You've already given this one friend 6 jobs and you've got this other friend. Well, hey, what about me?
So he also increased the number of bureaucrats. So because you have more departments, you need more people in charge, supposedly, from around 800 to around 2,700.
I'm going to rub your back by putting you in this power. Mm-hmm. So when my time comes, mm-hmm. you have to return the favor.
Yeah.
Like, he's putting these people in debt to him.
Yep. Exactly. In July of 1680, he married, Fyodor married a noble woman named Agafia Semyonova Grishevskaya.
Okay.
Look at me doing that.
You're getting good.
I did it. I'm going to be fully fluent in Russian names by the time this is over.
You won't be able to speak the language,
None
but you
at
can
all.
At least recognize a name or
I feel
two.
Like I know how to say your name.
Yeah.
I promise I do. So the Miloslavsky family wanted him to marry someone else. So it's important to remember here that because Alexei had 2 wives, there was the Narushka family, and there's the Miloslavsky family.
Okay.
So the Miloslavsky family was the woman he was married to first, and the Narushka family second. And they both kind of wanted control after Alexei died.
Yeah.
So that's just important to remember throughout everything I'm about to say.
Yeah, because, like, obviously his first wife was the first choice.
Yeah.
And so... I could still see them feeling like they were entitled to power.
Yeah. I mean, and also they had a royal son mm-hmm. in their bloodline. And so they were like, we need to, like, we get to be. And
first.
And plus with Fyodor's, like, health problems, they were like,
yeah,
what's
we're
going
obviously
on?
Next.
Yeah. So the Miloslavsky family wanted him to marry someone from their family, which would be like a cousin, which is weird, but whatever.
But a lot of royals did that everywhere.
Yeah, which makes me wonder about like the weird genetic scurvy. Yeah. Like, there's probably a reason for that.
Like, and it may not have actually been scurvy. There just wasn't anything, like there wasn't a term for that, and it wasn't like a known
That's true.
Thing back then. It was just, oh, this looks like scurvy. It's probably scurvy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, things can present a lot of different ways when they're genetic.
That's true. That's true. And especially when they get, like, funneled down.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Through several generations. And in the 17th century, I can't imagine what they thought diseases were. So Ivan started spreading rumors about Agafia because, you know, the marriage. And it didn't work because, okay, so here's the story about how they met. And I didn't, like, fully write this down in my notes. Alexei was at a church service, and he's, like, up in his little czar seat in the church service.
Yeah, it's kind of like, like, my little church has a balcony.
Yeah.
So, is it up high like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
He just has a special
seat.
He just
has a special, like, thing away from everybody else.
The common people.
Right.
Okay.
So, he's at church, and he sees this, like, gorgeous woman. And he's like, I'm in love with her, and I want to marry her.
Hey, let me holler at you.
Right, but he's in church, and he's like, doesn't actually, like, talk to her. Right. And so he kind of starts, like, talking about how he wants to marry her.
I'd be sliding notes in the collection plate.
Just, like, low-key picking up people in church.
Yeah, like, you know, because I feel like if I was the king, I'd be like, I want you to start collection with me. Put this note in there, but then you tell your little handyman to make sure that when it goes by her little seat, she gets her note out.
Right. No, I don't think it works that way, but okay.
It would be if I was king.
Okay. You go for it. I will support you no matter what.
I mean, you know we pass notes in church.
Yeah, we really do. We pass notes in
everything.
What was it called? Like Vespers. We pass notes in service. Like worship. We pass notes everywhere. It was ridiculous. So, or we just wrote them on each other's legs.
Yeah.
I just write things because we were just obsessed with Sharpies and everything. We had to write Sharpie on our shoes, on our jeans, on our skin, on the bridge, on
everything. Yeah, because when we went home, we had all this cool stuff, and no one else had that.
Exactly. Like, we had our jeans that, like, all our friends drew on or, like, signed or whatever.
Yeah, because, like, that was the thing. Every year, you had to have a piece of clothing that everybody signed.
Yep. All the cool people, anyways.
Yeah.
Not the, like, weird preppy people. He spotted this girl. He's in love with her. She's the most gorgeous thing he's ever seen.
Hey, girl, let me holler at you.
Yes. Ivan is like, I want you to marry my cousin or whoever.
Yeah.
So, Ivan starts telling Fyodor that, so Ivan starts spreading rumors about Agafia. He told Fyodor that she and her mother had, like, been engaged in lewd activities. And I don't know what that
means. All the best women are.
Yeah, but first of all, that's what I want in a wife. I don't know about you, but I want a freak. So, I don't know. So,
like, their definition of lewd is probably very different than ours.
Oh, yeah. But so they hadn't done anything. It's completely untrue.
Because, isn't a lewd act, like basically, I think he was
insinuating
somebody
that they were, like, sex workers.
Yeah, because, like, now, it's nothing like what they would consider lewd now. But no. It would be, like, flashing or,
it could be literally anything back then.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. Because in the 17th century, it could be like, oh, I showed my ankles in public. Like, that could be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it could literally. But they hadn't done anything is the whole point.
Yeah. Like,
they were good people.
He was just talking shit.
Right. So, Fyodor was, like, all secretive about it. And he had decided that he was going to, oh, I was in the neighborhood. Kind of situation.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So he goes on this little ride and he takes his horse out and he's like, oh, I'm going to ride in the countryside or whatever. On his way back, he happens to take the path that goes right by her house.
Mm-hmm. He's probably like, hey, do you come here often?
Yeah. So he had also, like, low key gotten some of his servants to talk to her servants and was like, hey, go have her, like, stand by her window. Mm-hmm. So she stands by her window right as he's walking by.
Because you don't. Even if you're not interested, you can't
it's the czar.
Yeah, like, you can't, like, throw shade.
But, I mean, what girl didn't want to be the queen?
Exactly.
Like, the czarista. So, she goes and stands by the window, and he's riding by, and it's the first time that they make eye contact. And they, like, she's beautiful, he's handsome, they fall in love. It's literally Romeo and Juliet, love at first sight. I know. So, he's like, screw Ivan, I'm going to marry who I want.
Because he's how old at this time, probably?
He was, when he, so this was 18, or 1680, and he was born in 1661, so he's almost 20.
So he knows if he wants to marry her or not.
Yeah, 100%. So he,
because they were marrying kids off at like 14.
Yeah.
So he knew.
Yeah, he knew. He definitely, it was fully his choice, and, he, like, secretly wed her and, like, kept it a secret. Like, not wed her, but secretly, like, engaged, got engaged and kept her a secret for a while until he could kick Ivan out of the capital.
Yeah.
So, he dismissed him from his post. He was like, you're not my advisor anymore. It's time for you to leave.
Yeah, which at 20.
Yeah. He probably, time for him to rule by himself anyways.
Yeah, at 20, he's been there enough to know what has to happen and what needs to happen. So.
And so they did the whole show of presenting all these noble women like they do. They have to. It's like a thing.
Yeah, it's just tradition.
Yeah, but they all knew who he was going to pick from the very beginning. And they got married, and they were pretty happy. He ruled alone for the first time and immediately began to reform Russia, like, in a progressive direction. And progressive for the 1600s is like, hey, let's not chop people's hands off.
For stealing.
Exactly. So he got rid of all of the smaller taxes and instated one blanket tax. Okay, so I'm about to list a very long list of things that he did. But all of these are, like, super important for the journey of Russia.
Yeah.
So
this is, like, really what laid the foundation of what is going to happen.
Exactly. And then the two rulers so far, what I've figured out is the two rulers that came after him, like, just built upon what all he did. But because he only ruled for a really short time, he's not as acknowledged.
Yeah, he couldn't, like, he planted the seed, but he couldn't see the plan all the way through the end.
Right. And also, if you know anything about history, you know that people and traditional historians and history buffs, they privilege things like wars and the passing of treaties and, like, major, like, laws and things like that. They privilege that information as more important over things like this.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing that happened. But just because something's a big event doesn't make it any more important than something that was written on paper. So, okay, he got rid of all the smaller taxes and had one blanket tax for every household. And he delegated the job of collecting this tax to the farmers, but they were also paid for collecting the tax. So this helped the farmers invest in their crops, which helped them get money, which put more money into, like, the general system.
Yeah, like, lower down in the
Which also,
economy.
The trickle-down effect does not work, but the trickle-up effect does work.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize this, that if the poor people have money, we're going to go spend it. And that money's going to then be put back into the economy. But
yeah,
when rich people have money, they put it in their pocket.
Yeah.
This helped to fully rebuild the treasury in just a year's time.
Well, yeah, because all these people had nothing.
Yeah. So at the end of this year, they had accumulated like 15 million rubles in the treasury, which was a shit ton of money. And Fyodor created the country's first census in 1678. Hello, like, where did you get this idea? So he only...
He had to, because he was...
from England.
Yeah, because he was so cultured early on.
Yeah.
He probably knew
that's exactly what it
happened.
Was.
Plus, how do you know how many people you rule if you're not counting them?
Exactly. And taxes, like how do you make sure you collect the right amount of taxes? So he did only count the taxpayers, which accounted for about 5 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And but there was an estimated inclusion of everyone else who didn't pay taxes.
Like the women, the children.
Well, yeah, but also like people who were serfs because they didn't pay taxes.
Because they're not paid.
Right. And people who kind of lived on the outskirts of Russia. So this was only in the major populated, like Western Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But an estimation of the entire population at this time was 12 million people.
Well, which it would have to be for just the tax-paying people to be 5 million.
Right. So
they're probably like, they probably didn't even know 5 million was a real number. They're probably like,
right. So this made Russia one of the most populated countries in the world at the time. And also the biggest country by landmass. The existing boundaries of private, public, religious, and government lands were fully solidified. So there's no more property disputes. There's no more, oh, your house is over on my side of the street, mm-hmm. or whatever. He fully, like, I guess it would be like property maps. Like,
yeah.
So if you go to the courthouse and you're like, oh, where does my property line end?
Yeah.
This is like what started that. Like, he solidified, like, this is owned by the church. This is owned by the crown. This is owned by private people. Like,
yeah.
Which is really cool. And
but it also helps the people, like, the landowners, when they're passing their stuff down,
mm-hmm.
know what they're passing down.
Yeah. And also helps, like, I think it started to solidify the ownership of private property, which mm-hmm. is really important. And
like, it's not the king's land that we live on anymore.
Right. It's your personal property. And he reopened the court of petition, and I couldn't find where, like, when that was actually closed. But I think it had been a while. Like, I don't even think his granddad had a court of petition.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody, like, do you know that thing in Game of Thrones where Daenerys is, like, ruling, over in Slaver's Bay or whatever, and people would come to her with problems.
Yeah, where she's on that big stair thing.
And the guy, like, brings his dead kid, and he's like, your dragon killed my kid.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of like that. So anybody of any rank, whether you're a peasant or a serf or anybody, could petition the court and could physically speak to the czar himself for complaints, help in legal matters, that kind of thing, which is also super cool.
Yeah, because, like,
it gives a sense of like
community
autonomy to these people too, and lets them know that, like, they're not just a cog in the wheel, like, they're actually important.
Like, it gives them more of a not community, but like kinship,
yeah,
to the czar, because
right. And people started to call him started to compare him to God, so they would have to write their petition, and then it would be either granted, like, I'll get to see you or I won't get to see you, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And people started to refer to him as, like, comparing him to God. And he was like, if anybody writes that again, he's like, you will not like the consequences. Like, he shut that shit down. He's like, I'm not God. Don't call me God.
Yeah.
Like, so he was very realistic. Like, that would have gone to any normal person's head.
You know? It makes it, to me, seem like he actually, when he was in church, he wasn't like me passing notes.
Yeah.
He was...
He was attention.
Yes, and he was taking those lessons to heart, like, and he was acting on what his interpretation of what Christ mm-hmm. and God would do.
Mm-hmm. And it honestly, I think he was probably like Peter the Great, his half brother, was like a really good guy, but I think he was honestly like one of the best ones.
He just didn't serve long enough.
Yeah. To really be, and because he wasn't like a strong leader, you know, it was whatever. So he suspended the barbaric penal codes, like I said, that would cut off people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he sent them to Siberia, and yes, they were exiled to Siberia, but he also gave them things and like means to help them settle the land. Because this was a wilderness. This was an Arctic tundra out here. But he gave them things that would help them, like, build houses. It wasn't just, like, you're floated out on an iceberg to die, you know?
Yeah.
Plus,
this is still his kingdom, correct?
Yeah. He wanted... I mean, think about it. You expand your kingdom into Siberia. How much potential does that then have?
Yeah, you've gained
yeah
so much more usable land.
Right. And so also,
more people can live there.
Like, side note, that's one of the major things that defeated, that helped defeat Germany in World War II, was because they went and attacked Russia on their home front and they couldn't survive in that climate.
Yeah. Because, like,
yeah.
Isn't Russia one of the coldest places on Earth?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like almost like the, what you think of like the North Pole. Like, yes, they have like summer months.
But when it's cold, it's cold.
Yes. He also, so basically Moscow was entirely made out of wood because 15th and 16th centuries.
Yeah.
And it would burn down like, I don't know, once every 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Because, I mean,
that happens everywhere, though.
People are just fucking lighting fires in their wooden.
There's no electricity.
Their log cabins.
There's no electricity. No. You can't control the wind.
Nope.
Everything's on fire.
Right. So, just constantly, everything's on fire.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, if you go back into American history, like, until we invented the light bulb, that was just part of human life, is like,
yeah,
shit burned down every once in a while.
Yeah. Randomly, things catch on fire. It's fine. So what he did was he funded the mortgages to basically the entire city so that they could rebuild their houses from stone.
Nice.
Yeah. And none of, like, barely any of those mortgages ever got paid back, and he just didn't sweat it.
Because he knew
it was for the betterment of the city. You don't have to rebuild the shit every 6 months.
Exactly. It would save him money in the long run to just invest in this right now.
Yep. He also abolished the code that allowed noble people to assume positions based on rank alone or inheritance.
So they had to be chosen or voted in.
They had to be appointed based on merit or based on his judgment, his personal judgment. He also burned the books of rank, which categorized the ranking of noble families. And this basically, like, took away their privilege.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, yes, you're still noble, but you don't have, like, this book now saying that, like, this, this, and this is, like, what you are, like, worth or valued at or whatever. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of cool. So he introduced Western fashion and created a social welfare system. Helped design the first university using European universities' secular education as inspiration. He strengthened the southern border against raids from Crimean and Ottoman armies. He opened the first armory and reformed the courts to basically, like, be more fair to everybody.
So the Ottomans are the Turkish
area
people?
Yes.
It's not Turkey yet. It's the Ottoman Empire.
Right. Okay. Homeboy threw down and was like, look, the noble shit, noble people don't run shit anymore. Okay, we're going to start being more fair to everybody. I mean, it's not like he just abolished the class system.
No.
But he, like, tried to make it so the regular
people can't throw it in your face anymore.
Right, exactly. So in 1677, the Crimean Turkish army invaded Ukraine, which, thanks to his dad, was now a part of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But Ukraine was able to defend themselves despite being outnumbered 2-1. And the next year, an army twice that size came back and tried again, and they were defeated again. So first year, it was like
Turkey, in my mind, Turkey is below.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes. So here's Africa. Here's the Middle East. Turkey is right here. And then Russia is right here.
Yeah, like above. Like, because they go up.
And then this is
Southeast
Asia.
Yeah, because Asia is kind of like an L.
Over here is
not an L.
Like Poland, Germany. Then you get to Europe, like Western Europe.
Were they not prepared for the terrain?
I don't fully know. I think it was partially that, but it was also because he had just, like, strengthened the southern border. Like, he had
a lot more people there.
Yeah, and they were trained better. He had, like I said, the first armory, and, I mean, they just had, like, better stuff. And the Ottoman Empire, I mean, they were still, compared to the Russians at this point, pretty primitive. I mean, they were good.
Yeah, because, like, I've always thought
they were raising
the Ottoman,
hell.
Yeah, the Ottoman Empire. Like,
but the Russians had all those fancy guns.
Yeah, you know? But that's what I was gonna say. When I think of the Ottoman Empire, I think of swords and like hand to hand close combat.
Genghis Khan shit.
Well, and the Disney version of that is Aladdin. Think of the guards.
Yeah, or like Mulan.
Yeah, think of the guards. They don't have guns. They have swords.
Right.
But, like, we knew that they had firearms in Russia.
And his dad, Alexei, had also, like, basically started building this awesome army based on the Swedish army, which was kick-ass.
Yeah.
So, he just...
That makes sense that they would get defeated twice, because don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Exactly. And, yeah, like I said, the next year, so the first year I think they came with like 100,000, the next year they came back with like 200,000 and completely got like obliterated.
Well, do you think they, I mean, I feel like they had to have been like trying to work on like either trading to get guns or like working on the technology to make their own, but probably. Like,
I know they had, like...
That consumes like so much time that they're not able to practice, like, the using of the guns. Like,
yeah.
If you're getting mowed down by guns before that you even get to the people, there's no way you can compete.
Right. So he did eventually draft a treaty with the Ottoman Empire and just, like, solidified their border. He's like, look, y'all stay over here. We'll stay over here. Don't mess with my shit. I won't mess with your shit. They weren't friends by any means, but they didn't mess with each other.
Yeah, they made a...
Yeah. So his wife was pregnant in 1681, but she had complications from birth. She died during birth, and their son died 6 days later.
That's awful. I hate that.
So homeboy, like, really, you know, threw down. He's like, he knew that he only had a short time to produce an heir.
Yeah.
And so he was like, all right, I'm going to get married again. He got married again 7 months later to Martha Aproxena. Marfa, which is, I think, would translate to Martha.
Probably.
Aproxena. She was 14.
That's not good.
Yeah. But he died 10 months later, so he didn't even have time to appoint an heir. Like, his health declined so fast that it was just like he had nobody. So,
well, and you didn't live that long back then either.
Right. But, I mean, because he was so sick.
Yeah. So he had a faster decline than most.
Exactly. And so this left a pretty important vacancy. And so now we have the Naryshkina clan and the
Don't ask me. I don't know. I can't say those things.
Miloslavsky family, who are both, like, vying for the throne.
Does she, as the new wife, have any claim?
Zero.
Because she's a woman.
Right, and also she's not even a princess. Like, she's not from a royal family.
Oh, so she was just noble?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
See, if I was her, I'd be like, okay, well, see, now that I'm the queen, I'm the queen, and this is what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the Capricorn boss in me.
So, funny you should mention that, because his half-sister, Sophia, was like... Oh, no, I think Sophia was his full sister. So, his...
Sister,
Sophia, was like... Oh, I'm the oldest living person now who's not, like, I'm going to take over.
I have blood ties to this throne. Yes. You cannot take it.
Yes. So, 1 hour. So, she had, okay, Sophia had two brothers. Her full brother, Ivan, and then her half-brother, Peter. They both had claim to the throne. One's a Miloslavsky, one's a Naryshkina. And the... Two families were like, no, we want to be in charge. No, we want to be in charge, as they're going to do. And Sophia was like, if Ivan's in charge because he's my full brother, I'm going to get to be in charge, because he was also, like, partially blind and disabled. And he also had, like, mental health issues, like mental disabilities or whatever that kept him. So she was basically like, he's just going to sit here and be pretty, and I'm going to run everything. And that's what she was, like, inspired by some Byzantine empress who had done the same thing and had become regent, queen regent for their brother. So it was an hour after Fyodor's death that 10-year-old Peter was selected as the new czar over his half-brother Ivan, who, like I said, was partially blind and disabled. So the nine...
And let's just talk about, he's probably, there's no mention of this, I'm sure, but, like, blind back then is any vision impairment at all. Like, probably. If you need glasses, you're blind back probably. Then. So, like, I wear glasses, and...
You're actually blind, though.
Yeah, but, like, I take my glasses off, and if I didn't have glasses because those aren't invented yet, I'm blind.
Yeah.
But, like, I can still see, like...
I can see, but if I took my contacts out right now, I couldn't tell you what that sign beside you said.
Girl, I'm sitting under it, and I can't tell you what it says. I'm just saying, like, I can see there's a person there. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't cause, like,
it's a shape.
Mental defect.
Right.
He just also had those.
Yes. Yes. So, basically, any royal daughters were not allowed to marry. They were not allowed to leave the castle. If they did, they literally had people carrying sheets in front of them so nobody could physically lay eyes on them.
No paparazzi.
But it was so weird the way they, like, shielded these women. Like, they had education up until the age of 10. They learned to read and write, but they had no education after that.
But back then, they probably could educate themselves as well as...
Well, Sophia begged her father to continue her education with her brothers. So she actually did, and it wasn't like official, but it was kind of like she got to audit their school lessons and stuff.
Yeah.
So she learned the exact same languages as Theodore and read anything she could get her hands on.
That's what I was going to say. She probably, because she was royal
mm-hmm.
and could read, she probably could like sneak educating yeah. herself in there by like, hey, get me this book.
And it wasn't necessarily, like, bad that she did this, but it just wasn't considered to be, like, her main priority.
Yeah, like, that wasn't what you were supposed to do.
Right. Her main priority was supposed to be, like, decorum and family and religion.
But why does that even matter if nobody can look at her?
Right. And, it makes zero sense. I don't know. So... She hoped to be regent for Ivan, but when Peter was appointed, she felt like her dreams were crushed, right?
And she's older than him, correct?
Yes, she is. I didn't look up how old she was. I don't know. I want to say she's in her 20s.
Yeah, because if they're from the same marriage,
mm-hmm.
She would have to be older. Because that's from the first
Peter
marriage.
Was 10 and Ivan was 15, I think.
Yeah, so she had to be in her 20s because that's mm-hmm. the first marriage.
Mm-hmm. So at the time in 1682, there was super intense military corruption. So after Theodore died, the generals were skimming from their soldiers' wages. And so they would, like, give the generals all the money, and they were like, give this to your soldiers, right, mm-hmm. and your officers, and they would have to split it up. They also took the soldiers and, like, forced them to work as serfs, basically, for them on their own property, which is, like, it'd be like your boss making you come home and rake his yard, but you're an accountant. Like, yeah,
I've had a boss like that.
So this army was called the Streltsy.
That's hard to say.
It is.
I'm not good with
consonants. I'm not good with consonants.
And so. I name my kid with an R, so here's that.
So the Streltsy got fed up with it, and basically a revolt was forming in Moscow. So the Streltsy was the army that was stationed in the city mm-hmm. of Moscow, like, to guard basically the capital. So Sophia heard that Artemon Matyev, which if you remember was exiled,
mm-hmm.
okay, she heard that he was coming back to Russia. And so she was like, oh shit, this dude like knows the deal and he's not going to let me take over. So she and her family like got on the ball and they told the Streltsy
to have him killed, please.
No. Well, okay.
That's what I would have done. Because I'm vying for that throne. He's got to go. Sorry about your luck, dude.
Artemon wasn't a bad guy.
But you can't have that.
Right.
If you're trying to get in power.
So she told the Streltsy that the Naryshkina family had poisoned Fyodor and killed his younger brother, Ivan. Even though Ivan's, like, fully alive.
Yeah.
So...
Did he go into hiding? I mean, I guess he would have to go into hiding, right?
Yeah. The Streltsy, aided by the Old Believers, so remember those guys? They just wanted to reverse Nikon's changes to the church, and they're like, oh, this is our chance. So they all broke into the palace to avenge Peter and Ivan, and, poisoned Peter, not Fyodor. I don't know why I have that in my notes. Doesn't matter. So they told him that they had poisoned Fyodor and killed Ivan. They were totally fine. Even though the army and, like, all the people who were trying to invade the Capitol or whatever, even though they were physically shown the boys, they brought both of the boys out and were like, look, they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Artemon Matyev, he was the one who was showing them, like, look, they're alive. They didn't stop. They basically were all riled up. They're like, look, we came here for a good riot. We're getting a good riot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, that's, again, that's pack mentality. Humans, yeah, when we're, yeah, in a pack, are nuts.
Right. Like, we get don't... riled up, and we want blood. We came for blood. We're getting it.
And we don't... It's like, for some reason, when humans get into a pack, like, mm-hmm, there's no right. There's no wrong. There's...
Right.
Every man for himself.
Exactly.
But only when we're in a pack like that, mm-hmm, usually.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it's pack mentality. It's exactly what it is. So...
Like, I don't understand why we lose our damn minds just because somebody else is there.
Me either. I have a theory about that, but we don't have time, so we'll talk about that later. But the mob drug Matyev out into the streets and hacked him to pieces.
Oh, gosh. Could you imagine?
No. Along with Mikhail Dolgorukov, who was related to one of the first wives.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he was like a guy who was in charge. So he was stabbed to death. And later...
I'd rather be stabbed, I think, because like...
Then hacked to pieces.
Because, yes, I feel like, I mean, you could die a slow death of stabbing, but, yeah, like, just getting little pieces cut off of you until you die,
yeah,
sounds awful.
Yeah. So, two of Peter's uncles and the Tsar's personal doctor and hundreds of others were killed by this mob.
Well, yeah, because, like...
Everybody's going down.
Yeah. When that... By the time humans have gotten to that place...
Mm-hmm.
They're literally going to fight either to the death or until they've just run out of energy, yeah, and they cannot anymore. There's no stopping it.
Right. So the army demanded their lost wages, and that they demanded that Peter and Ivan rule together with Sophia as their regent until Peter came of age. Because, again, Ivan's sickly, so they, mm-hmm, don't want him to. So she was the first person... But not the last, by any means. She was the first person to use military force to secure her throne.
Which is actually very smart on, yeah, her part.
She also realized that her title was very tentative.
Mm-hmm.
And so she immediately started shoring up her support. She melted down all the silver in the palace to pay all the soldiers their lost wages. She appointed personal friends and relatives to different positions that would secure her support within the nobility.
Yeah, she's stacking the deck.
Right,
which,
exactly.
That's exactly what I would do if that was
That's exactly what all the men before her did.
Yeah, I mean, if I was her,
mm-hmm,
okay, I've got my quote-unquote power now.
Yeah.
I've got to ensure that I keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would be stacking the deck until I could take my brothers out.
Yeah.
Completely honest.
Right. I mean, you're thinking...
Like a ruling body.
Right.
Side note, I would never take my brother out. I would never kill my brother. So just,
I mean, that. It depends on what my brother did.
My brother's like
I love my brother, but we are not like best friends or anything.
Well, my brother's like my third parent. Cause you know, he's, yeah, like 17 years older than me.
Yeah.
So like he's my brother and like we had that sibling bond, but then he's also like the person I go to when I need advice.
Yeah, like a cool uncle or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's just my brother. And so like, just side note. When I'm ruling the government as a queen, I'm not going to take my brother out.
When she takes over, she won't kill her brother.
Yeah.
So,
just know that.
So, all of this that she had done to, like, secure her support, right? The person that she appointed to be the leader and of the military and the treasury, Ivan Kovansky, basically let the power go to his head. Okay. Once again, as people will do, so the summer of 1682 was called the Bloody Summer because he basically had the Russian army, the Streltsy, invade the Russian capital and, like, hold it down for him. So he was like, look, we're under military rule right now. If anybody comes and tries to fuck with my power, you're going to get got.
Yeah. Like, don't speak ill of us at
Pretty
all.
Much.
Like, Clinton. Whatever we do
like
is good. Or right, not
yes.
good. But whatever we do is the right thing to do. And if you have any opinions about it, you either keep it to yourself or you're going.
Right. 5,000% is what happened. The rebellion would be the most influential thing that Sophia would do because the violence bred a distrust in Peter. And his dislike for nobility basically marked everything that he would do when he reigned, like when he was the czar.
So he didn't like all the noble people.
No, because they had stormed his castle and take it. Like, she was nobility. She used noble people and the army, who were a lot of the generals and stuff, were made up of nobles. She used those to take her throne. All of the violence, Peter's personal friends and family were killed.
And we have to remember, he's a child.
He's 10 years old. This is a formative year for him. And
he's probably scarred for life.
Yeah, and he basically went into hiding.
Which I don't blame him.
Right.
If I was him, I would be like, I gotta go.
It was kind of, it wasn't like hiding so much as like, it was kind of a mutual understanding that he wasn't gonna live at the Kremlin in Moscow anymore. So there was a old religious like outpost, mm-hmm. But it was also like religious slash royal. It's an old castle.
Yeah. Right.
And he and his mom went to live there, and they, quote, ruled out there by themselves, like, in this kind of outer region.
Yeah.
Basically where they couldn't affect anybody, anything that she actually did within Moscow.
Yeah.
But they were still technically, like, Peter was still technically co-czar with his brother Ivan.
Yeah, that kept him alive.
Right. And,
because, like, if he's living there with his mom is probably thinking, I just have to keep him alive till mm-hmm. he can take the throne. I mm-hmm. just have to keep him alive.
So because Kavansky had taken over the city with it, like I said, he ruled the treasury and he ruled the army, so he was basically in charge.
Yeah, because...
And what's this woman going to do? Nothing. She can't physically kick his ass, so... I mean, she had to leave the capital and took refuge in a monastery in the country.
This is the sister, correct?
Yes, Sophia, the regent. So she basically, like, started writing to all her friends and the nobles all across the country, got them to rally other troops to help her take back the capital.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did was kind of badass. She, and again, very Daenerys Targaryen, like,
I think George, you have to have that.
George Martin must have taken some notes.
Yeah. Like, I think you have to have that kind of personality to be a woman in
yeah.
charge.
Oh, yeah. And that's like a whole other thing about like women having to be masculine to be in charge. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
So, Kavansky, people were kind of getting tired of his shit.
Yeah, because if you are, there's a balance of power.
Yeah.
If you're too hard.
Right.
They're going to overthrow you. And if you're too lenient.
They're going to overthrow you. Yeah.
And it's easier when you're in power because you can
mm-hmm.
go overboard and be too hard on everybody.
Mm-hmm. So some of Sophia's secret agents snuck into his home in the middle of the night, drug him outside, and basically made him kneel before her. He was read his crimes and then beheaded.
Yes.
So
that's just like her, except she set him on fire with dragons.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he definitely at least knew the story in...
Yeah, I mean,
in the back of his mind.
Right, and he's really smart, too. George R. R. Martin is. So, Fyodor Shchegolevsky,
right,
took over as leader of the army, and she also appointed Vasily Golitsyn.
Yes.
I remember that one. She also appointed Vasily Golitsyn as her protector of the Tsar's Great Seal, which was his official title,
mm-hmm.
and head of foreign affairs. So he spoke 5 languages and basically was considered, like, the most handsome man in all of Russia. And she, like, legit fell in love with him. But even women weren't allowed to get married. Like, royal women weren't.
Which is stupid.
Right. Unless you were marrying somebody else royal, I think.
Yeah. But then, I guess the reason they didn't want that is because that's more people vying for the...
That makes sense. I didn't think about that. So Sophia sent Peter and his mother, like I said, to that royal palace, outside of Moscow. And since Ivan had severe disabilities, it was super easy for her to just take over. She did attempt to abolish serfdom, but she failed because nothing like that had ever been, like, comprehended before.
They're yeah.
like, what's that? We don't have poor people to do our work? What's that?
Yeah, it just was so foreign a concept. They didn't.
Yeah. Golitsyn urged Sophia to continue what Fyodor had started. So Fyodor had just designed that first university,
mm-hmm.
But Sophia actually had it built. And the first professors were 2, like, renowned Greek scholars, took 12 years to complete a degree, and their disciplines were Greek, Latin, grammar, rhetoric, philosophy, and theology. It was located in a monastery in Moscow, and the land that it was on still hosts the University for the Study of Humanities.
So
there's like several universities built on top of this one.
I was going to say, it's basically like a school of humanities because there's just no math.
Right. So they...
and no science, correct?
Right. Well, yeah. Right. So they... but like all of like this same exact spot has hosted like several universities throughout the years. And in 1686, Galician held these like really intense peace talks with Poland, and they eventually signed the Treaty of Eternal Peace. So this is like big deal.
Yeah.
Major big deal. So this allied Poland and Russia for the first time, so they finally stopped fighting each other.
For eternity.
Right. Clearly. Well, not really. But. Yeah. Not in reality. Which was something that had never been accomplished before. So she was like credited with this because this guy like worked for her. Mm-hmm. Right. One of the clauses that was in the treaty though, was that Russia would aid Poland in their war against the Crimean and Ottoman military.
Yeah.
Galician didn't want to go to war because he was like a chill dude and he knew that like war just hurts your country as much as it does anybody else's. And so he put it off as long as possible, but in 1687, Russia went south, and they pushed back the Crimean army, but he eventually had to, and so, like, he led the army. He eventually had to turn back because they had burned all of the fields, which left no food for their horses, which is smart.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, like, that's smart shit. Like, I don't know. Yeah. So he returned defeated and it like haunted him for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah.
He was super fucked up over it. But while he was gone to war, Fyodor Shekloviti, yes, whatever, started to try and win her over by having her portrait painted of her wearing a czar's crown.
Oh, well, that's a smooth move.
Yeah. Low-key, like, dude knew how to get in there.
Yeah.
So she started calling herself queen and took a lot of inspiration from Elizabeth I in England.
Before this, she was queen regent. Mm-hmm. So she just dropped regent.
Pretty much. Like, she went in a roundabout way, and she was something about, like, the blessed, like, something, princess.
Whatever the
Russia
title was.
Yeah, like, this whole big... long drawn out thing. When Ivan turned 18, she arranged his marriage to Praskovia Slatkova. Yeah, I'm trying my best. Conversely, the Naryshkina family married Peter to Eudoxia. Okay, Eudoxia is how I found out it's pronounced.
Eudoxia.
I'm not gonna say her last name.
It's a wonderful name.
Lapukina. How did I do?
Yeah, that looks right.
Lapukina.
Yeah, Lapukina.
Eudoxia Lapukina. So these two marriages would shape the Romanov dynasty for generations. They were super important.
Are these people aren't even Romanovs technically yet, are they?
Peter and Ivan are.
Oh, that's right.
Ivan are Alexei's sons.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
And Sophia is Alexei's daughter.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So she married Ivan off to somebody to solidify his claim. Like, mm-hmm. he's married now or whatever. And when I tell you that this woman was stout, like sweet little sickly, like Ivan. And then this.
Did they look like a number 10 walking around?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know. It's so funny. Like you have to look at pictures of her later. It's crazy.
Well, you also back until... I mean,
but bigger
until recent
women.
History, you wanted a bigger, sturdier wife because she's more likely to survive childbirth.
Childbearing hips, you know, bigger boobs, more milk, which good is what they thought, which we know that isn't true.
Yeah, but yeah, she and was able to get fat.
Big women ate good.
Yeah, so that
it wasn't
showed,
about, right.
It showed their wealth.
Right.
If you were big, it showed that you were wealthy and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So none of that is true for me today. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm hoping that eventually, like, my...
We'll just go back to that.
Right. My shit will just sort itself out, and I'll just come out looking like a Kardashian.
Well, I
just need all my stuff to go from the middle to, like, the top and the bottom.
Yeah. Well, I saw this thing, and it's like, you tell him you're made like a goddess, but he's never taken art history. You know, the Venus.
Yes, I'm built like Venus, damn it. That's what I look like. I look like Freya or something. Like somebody who, like, a goddess of fertility or...
I joke because, you know, I'm short, but, like, I have, like, big shoulders. Like, I have a big build for, like, a short, built slender like person. Or something. And I'm like, it's just my Viking traits coming out. Yeah. Like, I'm meant... Like, these are, like, milkmaid shoulders. That's what these are.
Women? In Viking times, were badass bitches.
Like,
they were in charge. And you know that Vikings, so side note, Vikings put women in charge of accounting because they thought that math was witchcraft.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it's witchcraft too.
Which is hilarious, and I love it.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I remember sitting in algebra being like, what sorcery is this?
Exactly.
This is not real.
So women were inherently witches, which I love in Viking culture.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I don't know that I would be looked at as a good wife in this time period because my hips are so narrow. But, like, I got the broad shoulders.
Yeah.
So, like.
No, you're fine.
I could carry those buckets of milk on that thing.
I think that's, like, Swedish people.
Yeah, but I think.
Vikings didn't have a lot of dairy, I feel like.
Well, they carried
something. Water.
Yeah, they carried like water. Because I've seen those paintings of like the women with like the
oh yeah.
I say milkmaid because I don't know what it was.
Right. But women were farmers and shit. Like women were in charge of shit.
Women did everything because the men were always out
pillaging.
Viking.
Right.
Which, did you know that Viking is not the correct term?
Mm-mm.
For the people, they're either called Norse or Dane.
I knew they were Norsemen.
But the reason that now we call them Vikings is because you go Viking.
Oh, that was like a verb.
That was their term for when you go and siege other land is they are Viking. So like when they say we are Viking, other cultures understood it as we are
Vikings.
We are the people called Vikings. But no, they mean... We're here to take your land. We are Viking.
Right. That word's lost all meaning to me now.
Yeah. So, like.
You've said it 57 times.
Yeah. So, like, every time that, like, people say that, I'm like, clearly, you heard it in the white represent. Well.
Right.
They're white, too. But, like, the European version of this word.
I had to stand up.
Girl, I know. These bar stools. We record on bar stools, by the way.
I'm bringing my actual bar stools, which are 1,000 times more comfortable than this, and we'll have, they're the same height, and we'll be fine. And they'll sit perfectly at this table.
Good.
Okay. So, in 1689, Peter came of age, and Sophia was supposed to step down, but she attempted to crown herself as the first Tsaritsa.
Yeah, I would.
But she basically lacked any support of the military, and nobody wanted they wanted a male leader, and they saw Peter's claim as legitimate because he was married now.
That's where she messed up. She should have gone to that guy in charge of the military and greased his pockets.
Well, she did. She tried.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she tried. So she also tried on several occasions to talk with Peter in an attempt to keep some of her power. But when Ivan failed to produce a male heir, they saw his claim to the... He had, like, three daughters. And they saw his claim to the throne as less valid than Peter's. And so Peter started to conspire to get his half-sister out of the Kremlin. He's like, you got to go, sis.
Because he was young enough when this all started to see it all unfold. And he sees who's pulling the strings.
Yep. So, Fyodor Shaklovitiy. Okay. That same thing. Shaklovitiy. Who had pushed for her to become Tsarista was executed by Peter.
Oh.
And her lover, Vasily Golitsyn,
the army man.
Yeah, was exiled.
Which, honestly, from a ruler's perspective, that's a smart move.
Yeah. So basically what had happened is like she would send all of these people to like go and talk to Peter and like try to get him to talk to her, and they would go and talk to him, and then he would somehow like win them over to his side. So he
must have been very charismatic.
He was, I think. And also, I mean, he's a dude, and he was handsome, and he was smart, and he was married, and they were like, let's get this guy in there. And so...
And she's not, correct?
Right. And so, I mean, she can't get married, so...
I mean, if she had set herself
up... She's hooking up with both of these guys, so... She could have changed it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if she had gotten in power, I bet she would have changed it.
Yeah, I think it was a church thing, too. Like, so but anyways. So, Peter ordered her to go live in a convent in Moscow. He was like, this is your punishment. She was stripped of her title, but she did receive the same allowance as all of her other sisters, which is like 2,000 rubles a month.
What is she going to do with that at a monastery?
I don't know. Well, she got all the same food that he got. She had plenty of servants to take care of her. I'd be pissed
if I was one of the regular nuns.
Yeah, and she basically got gruel. Set up.
Yeah. I'm eating gruel and she's over here eating steak or whatever.
Duck and...
Yeah, whatever they ate. I don't know.
Ducks, probably. A lot of birds.
But I would...
I have no idea.
I would be pissed.
Cows were in Russia. At this point,
I'd be trying to poison her and eat her food or something.
Okay, but you're done though.
So I'm fat as well.
9 years later, Peter was in Holland learning how to build ships. Cause sure,
why does the king? And, well,
he just he wanted to do it.
Was he?
Was he super hands on?
Was he officially the czar?
Yeah.
Okay.
He and Ivan were. Like co-rulers, but
they're Ivan co-captains of the cheerleading team.
Yes, shut up. But Ivan was chilling at home because he's like sick, and then but Peter was off like doing cool stuff.
Yeah, well, you know that's a pretty sweet gig if you're the one that gets to go do stuff because like you're
in charge.
Well, yeah, but your semblance of power is still sitting right there. Mm-hmm. They're less likely.
Nobody's to act try up to,
if you're home.
Right.
So, like, except for the fact that they're probably not trading out.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Old Ivan doesn't get to go do stuff.
No. And not that he could if he wanted to.
Yeah, but still.
Right. So, at the same time, there are about 4,000 Streltsy who revolted against their commanding officers, killed all of their commanding officers because of the whole, like, wage thing. Like, yeah, they got mad again about, like, wages or something. I can't fully...
Well, if you're not paying me and I have to do your yard work or whatever it is, I'd be pissed too.
So they set off for Moscow intending to reinstate Sophia. So she had been riling him up for years. She had been writing him letters about like, oh, you got to take out my brother Peter. Like he's doing this, he's doing that. Like you should let me be Czar or Issa.
This is like Days of Our Lives shit.
Literally like, girl, she just take the L and go live your life. Like you got it made. Somebody was sending me $2,000 a month and I had servants and like bomb ass food sent to me, I'd be fine.
But then you have to do all the other shit.
No, she really didn't have to do anything. She wasn't a nun.
So she just had to stay there. Like she didn't have to participate.
Right. That was basically her prison, but it was not necessarily a prison. Like she could go and do stuff if she wanted to.
Yeah, but after she's had that, like, taste of power...
Oh, yeah.
You know she's gonna
you're
go
not,
back.
You're not... Yeah, you're not taking that away from me. So, she had riled up this army, 4,000 Streltsy, right, while Peter was gone. They were defeated before they ever reached the city. They got 30 miles outside of Moscow, and they're cut down. Of course. Down. Yeah. In what was called Old Jerusalem, or New Jerusalem? New Jerusalem? I don't know why. They were trying to, like, build a whole new, like, Jesus... City. Land in Russia.
A promised land.
Yeah. So 130 of them were hanged. 140 of them were whipped. 2,000 were exiled. Whipped to death? No, just like generally whipped. Like,
well, that's punished. Better than...
So the main leaders, 130 of them were hanged.
Gotcha.
The other ones were like, this is your warning. Don't do this again. And then the other 2,000 were exiled.
I'd be like, loud and clear, I got you.
Right. So, when Peter returned in August of that year, he reviewed the case, and he was like, we didn't do enough. Because remember how he's, like, super anti-violence and, like, don't fuck with me and my family kind of thing? So, he had another 2,000 executed. 600 of them were flogged and branded.
Could you imagine you thought you got away with it? Like,
oh, I know.
And then he just got pissed all over again. He's like, fuck off. I'm doing it. You know what? I'm home.
It's like when your mom gets on to you for doing something, and then she's like, just wait till your dad gets home.
And then you got to do it again.
Literally.
Yeah.
So, and then your dad's mad because he got home. Like, he's even more mad because he just got home from work. And he's like, I just wanted to take my shoes off and have a beer. Now I got to deal with you little shitheads. Like, I'm mad about it.
Yeah. And then they don't give you, well, my dad didn't give you the, I'm mad at you. He's like, I'm disappointed.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's worse. That's way worse than,
my dad, I'd rather you pissed at me. My dad would do both. My dad's an Aries, so.
I think my dad was a Taurus, and he was like.
When was his birthday?
May 7th.
Yeah, he's Taurus. When Peter returned, he had another 2,000 executed. 600 were flogged and branded, and then 5 corpses were hung outside of Sophia's windows at the monastery for 5 months.
So that she could just look at them.
Hello. Like, that's your punishment.
I can't believe their bodies actually stayed.
I think because it's so cold.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That's what
I was six and say, I can't believe their bodies stayed in one piece that long.
Yeah. So that's probably how long it took for their necks to finally, like, disintegrate and fall.
Yeah.
The Streltsy was disbanded, and Sophia was forced to take the veil. So she was forced to become a nun.
Ugh.
So this is basically her renouncing any kind of title to anything.
That sucks for her.
She was sent away to a further away monastery, and her allowance was cut. Her security was no longer her guard. They were guarding her. Like, they were
making sure she didn't go anywhere.
They were her prison guards, not her royal guard anymore.
Yeah.
So she...
They worked for him, not for her.
She ruled for 7 years and served, ultimately, for all that she did, she served 15 years in a cell. She died in 1704. And at this point, this is like the decline of the Russian state and the rise of the Russian Empire.
Gotcha.
So this is where I've stopped.
Yeah. This is a good place to stop because, like, we're going to switch gears completely in the next one.
Yep. So Peter is going to be the next one that we talk about. Because Ivan doesn't really do much. Like, Ivan kind of takes a back seat to Peter because Peter's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
And has, like, military training, and Peter basically reforms their entire military, makes it super strong and super, like, well-structured and strategic.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's known as Peter the Great.
Yeah.
So that we're probably going to talk about him for a while.
Yeah.
But I think next week, if it's okay with you... That I might do something random.
Do it.
I might do something random that's not technically, I mean, it has a little bit of history involved, but it's more like spooky kind of.
I love it. Let's do it.
Okay. And we'll just like weave that into our long drawn out Romanov dynasty.
Give us a break.
Yeah. I'm super excited, by the way, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't want you to research it.
I love being excited. And okay. Like, I love hearing it the first time.
Good. And you may know a little bit about it, but I didn't know anything about it, so it's completely new to me, so it's probably new to you too.
Yeah. Check out our Patreon. We have the one tier, and then check out our social media.
Yeah, we are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Like we said, Patreon. I think that's everything.
If you have anything, any stories, anything that you think we should know or add or corrections.
Yes, please.
Email us.
Pronunciation corrections. Yes, all our links are going to be in the description again. Feel free to email us or reach out to us with story suggestions, things you want to hear, things you think we should cover. We are super active on our Instagram and Facebook more than anything else.
Yes.
So comment on those posts if you have anything, like join our group, you know, and comment, like let us know if you have any suggestions.
Or questions.
Yes. Or just want to bullshit and talk about.
Rate us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Because
that gives us exposure.
Yes. The ratings on Apple Podcasts matter, like, for everything. Because I think that's, like, 60% of our listenership is on Apple Podcasts. But for some reason, it just...
You have to have the ratings or they don't show your podcast.
Basically, like, they won't promote you. Like, you won't pop up at the top of the search bar when people search for
things. Yeah, so. Like, we don't want people to have to hunt. So, yeah. Give us a review.
Yeah, leave us a review if you love us. If you don't, then why are you listening?
Exactly.
I'm salty right now. I'm tired. Once again, I went to bed at like 2:30 and I woke up at 6:30. I hate everything.
Girl.
Oh, no, I can't even talk to you. You end up all night with a sick baby. I can't. Do you like my Green Day shirt?
I do. I love it.
I love it so much. I went shopping with one of my friends at Target, and they had all their t-shirts on sale for $8. And I was like, oh, they have a Green Day shirt. And she was like, I hate Green Day. And I was like, I'm buying it. Just out of sheer spite.
Just because you said that.
Green Day.
Like, just because you said that, yes. I'm buying it. I'm going to wear it in your face.
Freaking Green Day was my life, like, all through middle school. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us.
And we'll be back.
Yep. We'll be back next week with something random and something fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun break. And there's going to be a new Patreon episode up soon.
Yes. We're finishing up research on it now.
Yeah. And we'll probably record it next week. Probably record them both at the same time when you don't have a sick baby.
Plus, it'll be coming out right after Thanksgiving. So I know. We know you'll be hanging out on the couch.
And need something to do because we're not going to go out Black Friday shopping because there's still a fucking pandemic.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Cyber Shop, thank you.
Right, like I'm super into Schitt's Creek lately. Like that's become my latest favorite show. And like there's this David quote and he's like, okay, I'm not going to be doing any of that, but thank you.
Yes.
And I'm like, yep, that's me. Yes. And we're not going to be participating in this crazy pandemic. Like, what? Are y'all really trying to shut down in another 2 weeks? Yeah. I don't think so. We're on the way. Okay, Chick-fil-A has cut their hours back.
Again.
So this is when you know that it's getting bad. Yeah. When Chick-fil-A cuts their hours back. So get y'all shit together. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Be safe. Stay home. Get DoorDash or
Groupon or...
Right, or Kroger Pickup.
Grubhub.
Yeah, whatever it's called. All the things that we don't have here.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you guys next week, and
it's only a matter of crime.